Hey, welcome to another episode of Premenstrual Anxiety Solutions. Today is a super exciting day, an episode. I am really excited to share this one with you. It is my first guest interview, and it is with Christina Adrian, and she is based in New York City, so far away from me, but so cool that we can still connect over technology and talk about things that we're both passionate about, which is PMDD. So we're talking about all the stuff and things, ways to recognize it, what's going on in your body, causes. So I had a great conversation with her and I think you'll glean lots from it. So maybe get a notebook or pen, get your coffee or tea or whatever it is. It's going to make you feel a little more cozy and we will jump into it. Let's do it.
Is the anxiety you get the week before your period feeling too much? Are you just wanting more calm and peace in your mind so that you can feel quote-unquote normal again? If this sounds familiar, I'm glad you're here. Welcome to Premenstrual Anxiety Solutions, a holistic and faith-based podcast for women with premenstrual anxiety. I'm Loren, a nurse, reflexologist, Jesus follower, mom, and PMDD warrior. My mission is to help you navigate the turbulence of premenstrual anxiety through things like understanding your cycle, grounding your identity in God, hearing stories from other women, learning nutrition hacks, and so much more, so that you can have more peace and calm in your life. So, if you're ready to get on up from under your duvet, been there, and start this journey together, I encourage you to keep listening. Let's get started.
Okay, so we are going to jump into this. I am very excited. I have my first ever guest on the show on Premenstrual Anxiety Solutions, and it is Christina Adrian, all the way from New York City. So cool that we get to connect even when we are a world apart. I'm in Canada, she's in the US, and we're going to talk about PMDD today, which is another topic that I love sharing about. So welcome, Christina, to the show. Thank you so much for coming on. And this is a bit of a bio about Christina. So Christina Adrian is a licensed mental health counselor from New York City. She holds a Master of Divinity from NYTS and a Master of Arts in Mental Health Counseling and Spiritual Integration from Fordham University. Christina specializes in working with anxiety, depression, Christian spirituality, and financial issues. Since 2017, Christina has worked in substance abuse group homes, mental health clinics, group private practice, and started her own private practice in May of 2022. In August of 2023, Christina also started her own blog and newsletter where she provides value on all things mental health and spirituality. Christina hopes to continue finding ways to provide value and help transform the lives of those she sees one-on-one and those who may not have the ability to afford ongoing therapy. So Christina, thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome here. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Loren, for having me. I'm really excited to be here and to have this discussion with you.
Yeah, I am really excited too. So let's jump into it. My first question for you is, what inspired you to become a therapist?
I would say it started when I was doing youth ministry at my church many years ago. In my early 20s, I did youth ministry for probably about 10 years. And during my time there, I started noticing that a lot of people were, the children there were dealing with depression, anxiety, and many other forms of mental illness, some trauma. And I started becoming more curious and wanted to understand how to help them better. Sometimes I would have one-on-one conversation with them to help them through some of the things that they were discussing. But of course, I wasn't fully equipped and understanding of mental health and mental illness to really help them. And my understanding, my desire to want to understand it more and to help started to grow. And then eventually, as I got older, I found a program at Fordham University that integrates Christian spirituality and mental health together. And then that's what started my journey.
Awesome. That's such a cool mix to have mental health and faith in there. As you know, that's something that I love promoting on my show, like kind of getting it from all angles. So that's super sweet. So regarding PMDD, what has been your experience learning and understanding more about this issue, about this disorder?
My experience so far learning and understanding more about it has been through my work. PMDD is not something that's really focused upon, especially since it's so like specific and it shares so many commonalities with other depressive disorders or anxiety disorders. But then throughout my time being a therapist, working with so many women, it would come up. Sometimes I would start to notice certain patterns, and I had heard about PMDD. And because I started noticing more and more in my practice, I decided, you know what, let me do some research. Let me do some research, start to understand it more. Let me try to understand how this may be a factor that's affected my clients. And through that, I started doing more research, started talking to clients more about it. And I would say through my practice, I started to gain that experience of how to help them as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. It isn't a disorder that is well known. I feel like even as I've talked with family and people about PMDD, there's like, oh, I've never heard of that before. So it's definitely not well known. So I think it's super valuable for you to be learning about it and like experiencing it with the clients that you're working with. What are some of the causes of premenstrual dysphoric disorder?
The causes of it are not really known. However, I remember I was reading research on Johns Hopkins Medicine, and they believe that it could just be an abnormal reaction to hormonal changes. As maybe you even know, like throughout our life, our reactions to the hormonal changes in our menstrual cycles changes. Sometimes we have certain symptoms in our teenage years that might not be the same in our 20s, our 30s, or 40s. And there are changes that happen that we just start to react to differently. One other thought is that hormonal change causes a decrease in our serotonin. And when we have a decrease in our serotonin, that affects our mood, because the serotonin in our brain helps with mood improvement. And so if that's affected, or if there's a deficiency in that, that's another belief that could be causing the PMDD, because of that deficiency that's being caused by, like I said, it could be just whatever reaction we tend to have towards these hormonal changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in your experience, like with what we were just talking about, like a lot of women don't actually know what PMDD is. They, like we were just talking about right before recording, like a lot of women just think, oh, it's just PMS or this is normal. But in your experience, do you see women coming in specifically to be treated for PMDD, or is it something that comes up as you do more and more treatment that you see like, oh, like what time of the cycle are you in? And, oh, okay, it's in your luteal phase. Like what has been your experience with discovering more about that?
I would say it's been a mixture of the two. I have had experiences where women would come. Now, coming specifically for that is very uncommon. Usually there's a lot of other things going on in their life that they might want to talk about, and maybe just giving it a blanket depression. I'm dealing with anxiety. And then some of them maybe have heard about PMDD. Maybe they've heard about it from their doctor, or they've just heard it around from their gynecologist. And so sometimes they would bring it up. They would say, I've heard about this thing called PMDD, and I'm wondering if this could be what I'm struggling with. So I've had experiences where some women have heard about it and they want to learn more. Then I've had some experiences where it was the opposite, where they didn't really know anything about PMDD, but through them discussing their symptoms and what's going on with them, I may start to bring it up and ask them if have they heard about PMDD, and start discussing with them the symptoms about PMDD. And then typically from there, we would then try to do what we can to kind of narrow it down. Because like I said, PMDD shares a lot of similarities to other depressive and anxiety disorders. So usually there will be a lot of work on narrowing it down. And also I would add to when you asked me the question about my experience learning and understanding it, a lot of times women would come too with maybe thoughts and feelings that, oh, I'm just dramatic during my period, or I'm just, you know, maybe using certain words like that I would say typically in the mental health field, we don't just believe that you're just being dramatic, or you're just, something's just wrong with you and you don't know why. Of course, with mental health and with the way I like to practice is trying to understand the root of many things, because I do feel like there's a root to pretty much everything that we experience. So sometimes when I hear that type of language as well, that kind of gives me an idea that, okay, maybe there's a huge severity around it as well. That gives me an understanding that, okay, maybe they're dealing with PMDD, and then this is when I would decide to probably take that deeper dive.
Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you have a lot of validation in your practice. And what role does validation and just like seeing and hearing someone play a role in not just PMDD, but like reproductive health issues or mental health issues? What role does that play? And even just for women, like, women, I think, have a hard time with accepting like mental illness, or we kind of brush it under the rug, like you said, like, oh, we're just moody or just PMSing. So what role does validation have with these issues?
I would say validation plays a big role, because majority of the time, especially in the beginning, because these women are feeling, they might say crazy, or like I said, dramatic. Many times when we're feeling this way towards what we're experiencing, it actually makes it worse, because we're kind of like fighting against it, or we're angry about it, which doesn't really help with whatever symptoms we're already feeling, symptoms of depression and anxiety that we're already experiencing through the PMDD. And I think validating it helps to give more understanding. And whenever we give more understanding to anything, I think it becomes easier to kind of lean into it more, to accept it in a way, because I think acceptance can be helpful as well, because you stop fighting with it and start trying to figure out, okay, how do I learn to cope with it? How do I learn to deal with it? And many times that will give you a better result than usually the way that they might have been feeling before. Like I said, being angry about it, or just giving themselves this blanket label of being crazy. And I think validation is also important too, because many times, because they're not validated, that can perpetuate that feeling and thoughts, especially in maybe in relation with other people and the way other people may react to them as well. So they're probably already getting invalidated in other areas of their life with other people. So being able to have that validation when it comes to therapy can really be sometimes a sigh of relief.
Right. Yeah. When I received my diagnosis of PMDD, it was like being given a guidebook. Like for me, it was almost like freedom, because it was like, okay, this is what I have. These are the treatments. This is how I can work with it. And yeah, so there's so much value when there is that acceptance, when it's like, oh, okay, that like light bulb or aha moment. So I totally get that. Next question. How can women struggling learn the difference between PMDD and other forms of anxiety or depression?
I would say the main way to tell the difference, because it can be difficult and it can be challenging, but I would say it's by paying attention to when the symptoms start, how long they last, and the severity of it. More times, actually, I would say one of the other main factor is seeing if it correlates with your menstrual cycle. I would say that's the big factor, is paying attention to whether or not you're experiencing these symptoms outside that window, or if it always correlates. So that's one of the reasons why typically, to know the difference, I would encourage women to give it a few months. So usually we would take a few months talking about it to see, okay, is every month, is it starting to correlate with your menstrual cycle, or are these symptoms of depression, anxiety coming up other times? So sometimes that can help with making that distinguishment between, okay, is this PMDD, is this anxiety, and this, or is this depression? And I would also say the severity of it as well. The severity can also be a good sign of whether or not this is PMDD or another form of depression or anxiety.
Mm-hmm, right. So if they are experiencing similar symptoms throughout like their whole menstrual cycle, or not just in their luteal phase or premenstrual phase right before getting their period, what approach would that be taken with that?
If it's before the menstrual cycle, before the period?
Or just like throughout, like not just in the week before their period, but like it's just like anxiety all the time or depression all the time, but then it gets worse before their period. Like what would that approach be versus like just focusing on the anxiety, depression right before getting the period?
I would say the approach for that, because if they are experiencing anxiety and depression other times, but it worsens during the period, more of it would be about focusing on understanding and knowing the patterns and using coping skills. Now, if you're experiencing anxiety even before the menstrual cycle, then of course, you know, coping skills are something that's actually coping skills are usually something that's encouraged with or without symptoms many times, because sometimes people can experience anxiety and they'll have like one or two good days and then they think, okay, I don't need to practice any skills. But it's actually still encouraged me to practice it during those times. And I think when you do that, that can help with better being able to better deal with it when it does increase. Because if there is an increase or severity of the severity of it gets worse as your menstrual cycle starts to approach, you can have the skills already there to help you in those moments when it's at its worst. Because most of the time, if we don't develop that skill beforehand, when it gets to its worst, we're not either going to remember, or we're just going to do what we normally do, or we're just going to completely forget, especially considering that forgetfulness can be one of the symptoms of PMDD. So I would say usually the approach is not necessarily different, except for making sure that over time there is a learning and understanding of the pattern when it gets worse and having the skills to cope with it when it gets there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something I talked about in one of my earlier episodes. I think it was 1, 2, or 3, one of those. But basically, what can you do through your whole menstrual cycle so that when you do get to the luteal phase, then it's just like second nature, and maybe still takes kind of like a push to do, but it's like, what is the thing that you can do every single day? So it's like when you're in that survival mode, it just becomes a little bit more easy to do. It doesn't feel as difficult to make those choices that you were already making in your follicular phase or when you were feeling a lot better. So I like that approach. And segueing into coping strategies, what are some of the treatments and coping strategies for women struggling with PMDD?
Most of the coping strategies that I would encourage, and also to speak to what you said about having those skills and building up those skills, is to get into a regular routine of exercise, get into a regular routine of paying attention to your diet and how your lifestyle is for your diet. There has been some research I've read that talks about diet and how that affects our hormone changes, how that could affect PMDD. So diet might also be something else that we discuss with the exercise. Also, I would say supplements. Some women take supplements and said they have seen results, some good results with supplements such as magnesium. So some women might go that route, the holistic route of magnesiums. I would say mindfulness practices as well. So learning, not only exercising, but taking walks, being more physically active, paying attention to what your body is feeling and doing a body scan to understand how the anxiety and depression is showing up in your body and in your mind. And some women do opt to take SSRIs or anti-depression medication or birth control pills to also help. But certain things that you can do on your own are the things that I mentioned about your diet, exercise, eating lifestyle. And lastly, I would say also journaling. Journaling, I always encourage to all my clients. And specifically in this situation with PMDD, it's helpful because many times that's how women start to realize the patterns, because they start noticing, because they're writing and always taking record of what they're feeling and their thoughts, they start to notice even more when it's occurring and that it's occurring in correlation with their menstrual cycle. So journaling is also another thing that I would encourage, not only for understanding the pattern, but also just to process what you're thinking and feeling. Many times when we are experiencing these symptoms, and it's best to express them outwardly and not to keep them pent up inside. So journaling can be a very good way to deal with heavy emotions and to deal with the thoughts that usually accompany them.
Right. And you have a journal freebie can you explain a little bit more about what that journaling freebie looks like?
Oh, yes. Yes, I do provide a free journal that anyone can download at my website at adriantherapy.com. And in the journal, I pretty much walk the client through first understanding the ability they have to change their thoughts through neuroplasticity. Then I walk them through questions that helps them process their thoughts, process their emotions, putting words to their emotions, and also their behaviors and understanding their behaviors. And then depending on what it is that they notice from their behavior, how to switch those behaviors or to challenge those behaviors and to challenge those thoughts within the journal, and then being able to build that repetition, because many times repetition is very needed when it comes to coping skills, when it comes to journaling and having it be very effective.
Yeah, I love that you don't just say, oh, go journal, but there's like a system that you have for like, how do you journal and how do you get through those thoughts and challenge those thoughts? So So, because often I think sometimes with strategies or treatments, it's like, oh, just go do this. But sometimes you're like, I don't know even where to start with it. So I really like that idea. And I'm going to link the journal freebie in the show notes. So if anyone wants to access that, they can jump on that. The last question I have that we didn't talk about, but I think it'll just come super naturally to you, is how does faith and God and spirituality come into all of this with women who are struggling with PMDD?
I would say that I think faith can play a role in understanding and knowing that we have a God who understands us, a God who created us, and he knows every inner workings of everything that's inside of us, what we deal with, and our bodies, our mind, and everything, and that he is there to give us rest, to take our burdens, to really have us depend on him. And I think we can depend on him when it comes to struggles with our menstrual cycle, with PMDD, just like we do with anything else. So I do feel like faith can really play a role in giving that up to God and leaning on God for that, especially when it comes to even what I'm thinking now of prayer. When we were just talking about coping skills, prayer is something that have been neurologically even shown to have changes in our brains and our bodies. And it can be a very good way to deal with heavy emotions and thoughts that we're dealing with in life. And I think having that prayer time and devotion time with God can also be a good addition if one is struggling with PMDD, to bring it to God and to have that moment with God and help provide that more calm and more ways to cope with what it is that we're feeling. And like I said, too, also knowing that he understands us and he is, wants to be there for us through any and everything that we go through.
Yeah, that's so good. I think that's like such a vital part of our wellness journey, that if we're not adding God into it, and like you said, like giving our burdens to him and trusting that he knows us, then there's definitely going to be a missing link in our journeys and in our healing. So it's so vital, even if it just looks like a minute of just like slowing down, breathing, and saying, God, you are with me, you are here, and you love me. I think it's so vital. So thank you for sharing that last bit. And I'm so thankful that you came on. I feel like we've had great conversation. I feel like I could ask a million other questions, but we obviously don't have time for that. But thank you, Christina, for coming on and sharing your experience of working with women with PMDD. I feel like you have just so much valuable knowledge and insight and experience. So I think my audience will really appreciate your wisdom and coming on. If my audience or the people who are listening to this podcast are interested in learning more about you, accessing the blog and newsletter that I was talking about in your bio, or getting their hands on the journaling freebie, where can they find out more about you?
You can find out more about me through Instagram at Adrien Therapy, and that's ADRIEN therapy.com. And also that's my handle on Instagram. Once you go there, you can download the thought journal. You can also enter to get the newsletter, where I will talk about upcoming projects, courses that I'm also working on a course to help women, Christian women and men dealing with anxiety, wanting to incorporate more of their faith into their mental health journey. So that's something else that you can maybe look forward to, and just download my newsletter and I will give you a waiting list if you're interested. So you can find out more about me there, adriantherapy.com.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much. Like I said, appreciate you coming on, taking the time to share your insights. And I would encourage everyone to go check Christina's stuff out. She's got a lot of good stuff going on there. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
That's it for today. Thank you so much for being here with me. If you have a friend who would benefit from hearing this episode or podcast, send it their way. And if this helped or encouraged you, I would love it if you left me a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps get this golden information into the right ears and is really the best way for you to say thank you. When you leave me a review, I'll also share it right on the podcast. Lastly, please know that this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to take the place of your primary care provider. By listening, you are agreeing to the full disclaimer linked in the show notes. All right, take care, friend.